Ladies and gentlemen, you are now going to hear your guest of honor, Professor Dakes, and the headmaster has already told you about him. I won't embarrass him further by anything more, but I know that the moment he starts to speak, you will know what he's talking about.
Mr. Chairman, headmaster, pupils of the school, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in a state, as you might imagine, of considerable embarrassment. The quality and almost the content of my speech having been predicted in advance in such flattering terms by both you, sir, and by the headmaster, that anything I say is bound to fall far short of the sanguine expectations which those complimentary remarks must have aroused. I can only thank you, headmaster, and you, Mr. Chairman, for your kind remarks, and do my best to live up to them. It's a tricky business talking on an occasion like this. I haven't done it very often, but whenever I'm asked to give a speech day talk at a school, my mind goes back to those unhappy moments of my life when I was a member of a captive audience at my old school in Edinburgh and heard some old geezer get up and talk about the happiest days of your life and give long-winded and meaningless advice about success and things of that sort. I have really the most horrible memories of that sort of thing. And I must at all costs endeavor to avoid falling into the pattern which is so painfully impressed on my own memory. On the other hand, there is, as I'm sure most of the boys, if not of the parents and others, will realize, there is an even more offensive way of behaving at an occasion like this, and that is to pretend you're much younger than you are, to put in a great deal of slang, to jolly yourself along in a knowing sort of way. You're one of the boys, you know, you're not old, you understand the language of the young people, you're really one of them. That can be insufferable. I walk the razor edge between, what shall I say, being one of the boys, which I'm afraid I'm not, I wish I were, and just being a silly old fuddy-duddy. And there's only one way of hoping to achieve success, and that is tell the truth as you see it. I'm not going to talk down or talk up, or indeed talk very much for that matter, but I want to say one or two things which I think appropriate on an occasion like this, and I will say them as they come into my head in the words that I find suitable, and I don't care whether they're comprehensible or not, and I don't care whether they're shocking.
Professor Dakes's speech was mainly about the new combinations of various fields of study which were then, for the first time, being tried out at the University of Sussex at Brighton. A recording of his speech does unfortunately not now survive to us. He ended with these words:
"We at the University of Sussex are doing all we can to redraw the map of learning so as to demonstrate bridges, the possibility of bridges between science, humanities, between different humanistic subjects and each other, between different sciences among themselves. You in this school have been trained to be bridge builders, to build bridges between the past and the present, between one language and another, between one culture and another. Therefore, you are best equipped of all to carry with you into the future this understanding of the artificiality of those classifications of people into humanists or scientists or what have you, which are so dangerous to our culture. You see, I put a terrific burden on your shoulders. I've insisted that in order to remain really live and interesting human beings, you must keep your different cultures boiling all the time, never fall into a sort of dead solution where you think everything's settled. And secondly, I'm challenging you to use the particular kind of education you have received here in order to be bridge builders in all spheres, all your lives. And builders, indeed, are what all thoughtful young people ought to be. I quoted in a recent speech for the Hebrew University, a remark which seems even more apposite. It's a Hebrew, one of those magnificent moral puns that you find so much in Hebrew literature. When it occurs in the Talmud, when quoting a phrase from the Psalms, one of the rabbis says, Al tikra bonaih ela banaih. Do not read thy children, but thy builders. Well, that really sums up what I'm trying to say, except that it's bridge builders I'm talking about. You've been trained here to be some of the great bridge builders of civilization. The fourth bridge, in whose shadow I grew up, has to be painted all the year round. You begin at the beginning and you move on towards the end, and by the time you get to the end of the bridge, you've got to start at the beginning again. This is the same with one's culture. The bridge is never finished. It is up to you to be bridge builders for the rest of your lives.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure we all want to thank the professor very much for that really brilliant address. You may have noticed he hadn't got a note, or at least I noticed he hadn't got a note with him. And he went through it from start to finish absolutely brilliantly. Personally, as I'm mad keen on the Channel Tunnel, I was delighted to hear him talk about bridges that could never have finished being painted and have quite obviously be useless. But I do hope that you all take very much to heart everything he has said. It really has been absolutely brilliant. Now you are going to have one slight alteration. I hope the head boy has heard about it, but the chairman of the old boys is rather afraid of what the head boy might say about him, so he's decided to get it in first. And so we've got Mr. Felix Gordon, who is now going to say something to you.
Mr. Chairman, headmaster, guest of honour, ladies and gentlemen, lignum vitae est his qui apprehenderent iam, the tree of life is for those who understand it. This is the motto of this college, and I hope we'll take Professor Datis's remarks to heart.
Mr. Gordon went on with these words.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, having made those brief introductory remarks, I want, please, if I may, to introduce you to the head boy, Peter Kleiner, and if he's here, could he please come forward? How do you do? I haven't until this moment met this young man. I'm very glad to do so. I have a long list that my good friend Mr. Smith, with which Mr. Smith never use a proposition or a preposition to end a sentence with, my good friend Mr. Smith, with which he provided me to give me some of the details of Peter Kleiner's achievements and qualifications. Peter Kleiner was admitted to this school in September 1954 at the age of 10, and at that time he did not know a single word of English, and yet I'm told that by the end of his first term here, he was the finest English scholar in his class.
Mr. Gordon ended the recitation of the head boy's achievements like this.
Qualifications led eventually to his appointment as head boy, which appointment he has held now for 1 year. 1 year. Peter, with all these abilities that you have, perhaps God will give you wisdom and love and understanding. Perhaps ambition will come in due course, I don't know. I don't think you've got to worry. I think that if, in the words, I don't think he originated them, but in the words quoted certainly by Abraham Lincoln, if you can succeed in finding the pursuit of happiness, and in the words of a philosopher who died 100 years ago, whom Mr. Halevy used to tell me, and I've forgotten his name, but he did say, this philosopher, that the object of good living was to leave the world a happier place than you can find it. From what I have heard about you, this at least, I believe, you will be successful in doing. I want to wish you, on behalf of the Whittingham Old Boys Association, as I present this trophy to you, every success of which I no doubt you're worthy, and a happy and full, successful life as a Jew and as a citizen of the world. Thank you very much.